This morning comes from the book of Deuteronomy 34, verses 1 to 12. It says, "Then Moses climbed Mount Nebo from the plains of Moab to the top of Pisgah across from Jericho. There the Lord showed him the whole land from Gilead to Dan, all of Naphtali, the territory of Ephraim and Manasseh, all the land of Judah as far as the western sea, the Negev and the wall region from the valley of Jericho, the city of Palms as far as Zoar. Then the Lord said to him, 'This is the land I promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob when I said, I will give it to your descendants. I have let you see it with your eyes, but you will not cross over into it.' And Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in Moab, as the Lord had said. He buried him in Moab in the valley opposite Beth Peor, but to this day, no one knows where his grave is. Moses was 120 years old when he died, yet his eyes were not weak, nor his strength gone. The Israelites grieved for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days until the time of weeping and mourning was over. Now Joshua, son of Nun, was filled with the spirit of wisdom because Moses had laid his hands on him. So the Israelites listened to him and did what the Lord had commanded Moses. Since then, no prophet has risen in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, who did all those miraculous signs and wonders the Lord sent him to do in Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all his officials and to his whole land. For no one has ever shown the mighty power or performed the awesome deeds that Moses did in the sight of all Israel." That's the word of the Lord. I will call upon our minister, Reverend Gigi, as they call him, Reverend Gilson Gwendu, our minister, to come and give us his final message for the year 2017. And his final message to Leyndon Baptist Church. Thank you. No, they'll stay.
Okay. Right, I've got mine. Welcome to our sort of family service. We will call it a family service because the children are not going anywhere. Yeah. So what am I asking from the children this morning? You remember when I promised you something, I said, I want you to be on top of your behavior. You remember? And you did that on that day. I couldn't hear even a squeak in the church on that day when I asked you. So please repeat that well as you say farewell to Jenny and myself. Yes? Be at your good behavior this morning because I'm going to talk. I'm not going to preach. I'm going to talk because I'm trained to talk. I went to a college called Spurgeon College. Some of you might know it. That's where I was trained. So I'm going to just do that today. How they trained me is what I'm going to show you this morning. My sermon today is going simply to be called, "It's God's Mission." Please repeat that with me. Thank you. Thank you. This guy, whom we've just read his story, he lived in the palace in Egypt. And Pharaoh's daughter has taken him from River Nile. You remember that story of Moses, the baby Moses in the basket in River Nile. And then Pharaoh's daughter picked him up and took him to the palace. And when he was about 40 years, he ran away from the palace. Meanwhile, at that moment, God had already started his training in Moses, but he didn't know it because he put him into the palace, because 40 years later he was going to come back into the palace. He knows all the tactics of the palace, so he would know how to negotiate with Pharaoh. But Moses didn't know that it wasn't his mission. It was God's mission. Some of us are like that this morning here. We think it's coming to church because my colleagues go to this church. I'm coming to church because this is the nearest church. You are on God's mission, if you do know that. I want to remind you this morning that you are on God's mission. Right. Now, someone will say, why did Gilson choose such a passage? I'm also puzzled how this passage came to my mind. Moses is dying, and then I bring that message on my last sermon. You get to understand why I have brought this message, this passage. At this juncture, we might all say to ourselves, surely, God says to Moses, go on top of the mountain, look over there. And Moses could see the land of Canaan in front of him. And God said to him, boy, you are not going there. The Bible doesn't tell us why. That doesn't tell us Moses, why didn't he ask God, why am I not going over there? But if you go back a little bit, in the story of the Israelites as they were leaving Egypt, they were wandering in the desert because, they wandered in the desert because some of them were so argumentative with the one God had chosen. They forgot whose mission it was. It was God's mission. But they were arguing with God's chosen leader. And then God said, this journey which was supposed to take 7 days, you'll take 40 years. They wandered in the desert, meandering right and going round and round. It was part of the punishment that God was giving to the children of Israel for their disobedience to the leader. So then comes Moses now. He goes on top of Mount Moab and looks over and sees the land of Canaan. And God says, boy, you're not going to go there. Is God saying to me this morning, there is Canaan in front of Landon Baptist Church. Boy, you are not going there. I want to correct you there. God is saying that you are on my mission. I'm sending you for another mission. You have finished the mission at Landon Baptist Church. Because I was relaxed here, ladies and gentlemen. I was sitting on my desk, God, you called me back to my home church. I'm going to be here till Jesus comes back. I didn't know God had other plans. So this morning, he takes me on top of Mount Moab. He shows me Canaan. But he's saying, I'm not going with this church to Canaan. This church is going with another leader. This is exactly what happened to Moses. But the text that we read, it says the Israelites were in mourning for 30 years. Days. 30 days. Let me explain to you about loss. Do you know when you retire from your job, you have been working for all these years and it's time to retire? It's like you have lost your loved one. If you change environment, it's loss. If you lose your job, it's like someone has died. So grieving or mourning is allowed. Ladies and gentlemen, get me right. We all go in the grieving or in the moment of loss. I have struggled with the past 3 months. I was grieving, mourning. I wrestled even in my bed. I couldn't sleep, thinking, God, what is it that is happening in me? I didn't understand what was happening in me. But grieving is allowed. I looked in the Oxford Dictionary to define what does grieving say. It says, grieving is the mental suffering caused by loss. Anything that you lose will bring a mental suffering. This is the state that I was in. Some grieve longer, some grieve for less. So don't feel bad when you are grieving about what is happening. The Israelites did. They had the same moment of grieving when Moses was no longer with them. So, but as we look ahead, there is Canaan in front of this church. So grieving has got to come to an end. We need to celebrate together. We need to celebrate with you before we go. The celebration starts right now. The Israelites, when they looked back, they celebrated what Moses had done. And when Moses died, no one knows where his grave was or is up to now. Only God knows. Because if you go to Jude, Jude says God buried Moses. No one else knows where Moses' grave was. Imagine these Israelites, some of them were already worshipping Moses. They could have made his grave a shrine. Do you agree with me? But God hid that grave away from them. Because they will now worship Moses instead of God. Because Moses had done a lot of things for the Israelites. Some of them would have forgotten. But remember, he's the guy who prayed for these guys who were crying. We are hungry. You should have left us in Egypt where we used to eat good food. We used to eat cucumbers. But they had forgotten. The bricks with thorns, mud, which was the mortar, which was with thorns in them, and they were asked to use their feet to mix the mud for the bricks. But that's where they want to go back. And Moses prayed to God, and bread and quail rained from heaven. Some of them were remembering that. When they were now thirsty, they wanted water. There was no water where they were. Moses prayed to God. And Moses was given an instruction by God with his brother. Go and speak to the rock. Water will come out. What does Moses do? He picks his staff and he hit the rock 2 times. There was disobedience there. God said, go and speak to the rock. Water will come out. But Moses goes to the rock and hits the rock 2 times. God didn't embarrass him for disobeying. Water still came out and the Israelites got water. Then we get to this point when Moses, God takes him to the top of Mount Moab and shows him Canaan. He had forgotten the disobedience that he had done to God by not obeying God. God said, go and speak to the rock. And he didn't. Let's all not forget what God has done for us at this church. Let's not forget what God has done for us in our lives together. As we look into Canaan, here is my last and final advice to you. Paul says here in Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7, do not be anxious about anything, but in anything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. That's the only thing we should do right now. The past is gone. Today is the last day of 2017. We are looking forward to 2018. As we say farewell to one another, what do we do now? Are we going to be in overdrive, worrying about what is going to happen next year? To be precise, in a day's time. Because New Year is tomorrow. No. Paul is saying, do not be anxious about anything. Leave everything in God's hands. The psalmist says, where does our help come from? Our help comes from God, the creator of heaven and earth. Have you been to a situation whereby you say, well, I'm stuck here. I've got no solution in my life. I'm stuck. This is what I tell you from now on into 2018. Don't be anxious about anything. Surrender everything in the hands of the Lord. Prayer works. Did you know that? Moses prayed and bread rained from heaven. Moses prayed and God gave him an idea to go and hit a rock, to speak to the rock, and water would come, and it did. And last Christmas, 2017, there was a man who stood in front of us and said, he prayed for his wife and it worked on that night. Prayer works. So here is my challenge to Landon Baptist. I told you I'm not going to preach today. I'm going to just narrate the stories that I was taught at college. Some of them are about praying. So, if you have been driving in normal gear, now is the time to be in overdrive. Those of you who know how to drive, when you are driving a car on a normal terrain, you use the normal gears. But when you are in a desert or in a rocky area, you need a four-wheel drive. Peter, I think you agree with me. You drive a four-wheel drive. When the terrain is bad, you need to go into extra drive. Because the situation where you are needs that. Now is the time to be in overdrive in your prayer. Surrender it all to God. God is going to do all these things. Because Paul says to us, don't be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and petition before God. Going back to the story of Moses, the Israelites, when Moses died, they thought, well, that's the end of the story. What did they think of? It's not the end of the story. Because it's not his mission. It's God's mission. So it doesn't mean to say when Jenea and Gilson have moved on, it's the end of the story. It's not our mission. It's God's mission. Now it needs all men and women to group up together. On that one, I brought the reading in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 tells us that we need now, if you've got a gift of praying, the time is now. Use it. If your gift is about preaching, the time is now. Use it. Because God is the one who has given you that gift. If your gift is to encourage others, why can't you do it? This is the time to use that gift. If you have been sitting on that gift for all these years, thinking, oh, well, there's a minister. No, I relax because that's his job. It's not my mission. It's not your mission. It's God's mission. But now, the Israelites, when that happened, they didn't know what God was planning. He was planning something. When he opened his storehouse, another Moses, in its different form, came on the market. Joshua. God was grooming Joshua. Joshua was going to become the new leader of the Israelites. The Moses era had finished. The Joshua era had started. I want you to notice one thing. Moses is only one Moses. You agree with me? Same applies to Jesus. There is not going to be another Jesus. There is only one Jesus. So when the Moses era finished, the Joshua era started. Yes? Moses had helped the Israelites to cross the Red Sea, yes. He had given them water in the desert, yes. He had prayed for them and God gave him a serpent. Whoever was bitten by a snake, if you look at the bronze serpent, you were healed. Yes, that is all past. During our time together, we have done a lot of achievements as a church. We have seen baptisms in the church. Who can give me the number of people we baptized here? If I'm right, I think we baptized about 8 people. Yes? 8 people? 9? 8. 8 people? What about dedications? How many children were dedicated in this church? 4? 6? 8? Right, let's start with Samuel's 2. Ella's 2. That's what, 4? Raymond? Chris and JD, that's what, 6. I think we've missed another 2. Who are they? Yes, she was dedicated at the wedding. Yes, you remember? So the list goes on. What about Cage? What about Cage? What about members dedicated in this church? The list goes on. So the Israelites were also looking at that. Oh, Moses has done this, has done this, has done this. I'm saying to you this morning, it's God's mission. It's not our intelligence or our cleverness to help us to do these things. God had that in his plans. So we are saying, God, we thank you for the things that we've achieved together. Now we stand on the threshold of what is in the future. What is coming in the future? God, we leave that in your hands. It's not for us. Yes, Moses is gone. Are you going to bring Joshua for us? We are blessed because we've got scripture that we read. These people didn't have a scripture to read to know what is coming next. So the story of Moses, when Moses died, the story goes on to say, Joshua picked up the mantle to carry on with God's work. I want you to get this from the next chapter. Joshua chapter 1, verse 6. It says this. Joshua chapter 1, verse 6. It says this. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people into inherited land I swore to their ancestors to give them. I am encouraging you to be courageous wherever, whatever you meet. It's not going to be easy, especially without a leader. But pray to God earnestly that we are praying for a leader to come and guide us. Whilst I was preparing my talk, something strangely happened. I know Linda will like this. There is a preacher's son who died on Christmas Day. His information is awash on the internet right now. If you click on it, the young man has got speech impairment. He can hardly talk. He can hardly stand. He's physically disabled. But in one of his sermons that I listened when they were doing his eulogy, he says, the body that you see is different from what's inside. The me who's inside is complete. I was sent here by Jesus to come and preach the good news of Jesus. That young man, according to the story, he was born dead. He was dead for 1 hour, 45 minutes. Because the father is a preacher. He's a founder of one of the churches in Zimbabwe. His churches are all over abroad. Right now, when the son died, he was in Israel, establishing one of his church posts there. So, this young man says, I was sent by Jesus to come and preach his gospel. His parents, when the doctors declared him dead on that day when he was born, the father and mother, because of their faith, they said, our son is going to come back to life. They prayed for him. For 1 hour, 45 minutes, he was a child born dead, and he came back to life. So if you want to get that story, Google on internet. Maybe I'll ask Tony after the ad at the end of the service to just click on internet. You click Ezekiel Good Jr. His story will come out on the internet. He says, I was sent by Jesus to come and preach about the good news. But he would hardly talk. You will see his clip there when he's preaching. You can hardly hear anything. An interpreter was interpreting. So, I am saying, the mission is God's mission. God will send someone to lead us, ladies and gentlemen. Don't be downhearted or disheartened. God is going to send someone. I will leave this verse to you again from Paul, from Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7. Don't be anxious about anything. Remember all the good things that we've done together. Remember all the blessings that God has given to us. The future awaits for you to take part in it. Maybe God has done this for a purpose. He is grooming a Joshua somewhere there, but we don't know. But in the meantime, you are on a test. Because remember, God doesn't tempt anyone, but you are on a test. Are you going to be involved in the work of the kingdom? Very good. The most important thing is for you to remember, is God see? Again? Come on, church. There's not only one voice. Remember, it's God see? Amen. It's God's mission. There's nothing to boast about. All God wants is for you to be faithful. All God wants you is to be courageous. All God is asking you this morning is to trust in Him. Are we going to trust God? Same applies to Jenia and myself. We are going to trust God wherever God has sent us. It's His mission. It's not our mission. So whatever we do, to human eyes we might say, no, it's not working according to what I want. Yes, according to what you want, it's not working, but according to God, it's working. I just want to finish by reminding you of a story at St. Luke's. As I was doing my rounds at St. Luke's, sometimes you become discouraged when you go in a side room and you see someone who is ill. My last wandering around, I went in a room and this young man was seated on the chair. You could see his eyes, he has been sobbing. And he said to me, Gilson, I have got no faith. And don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. You are doing a splendid job, you faith people. But I've got no faith. But my father has said one thing to me. He too has got no faith. But when you visited him last, he told me about your visit and said, I've got no faith. But the discussion I had with that young man was pleasing. I don't know what I said on that day. I didn't say anything about Jesus. All I said was about love, as Jenny was saying. I said, we are here not to preach to you. We are here to share your journey with you. That's all I said. So remember, it is very important to love one another and share our love together. So during this moment of having no leader, it is very important to love one another, visit one another, care for one another. Where there is need for help, please help one another. Above all, keep on trusting God. Can I say to you, finally, I am a stronger believer of a prayer. And I believe God is preparing another Joshua out there. He's not preparing another Moses. We've just read Moses has died. He's preparing a Joshua. He's preparing a Ruth. He's preparing a David. He might be preparing a John somewhere there to come and lead you to the promised land. What is the promised land? Only God knows. How many are going to get into the promised land? Only God knows. Where is the promised land? Only God knows. Imagine Moses when he was looking at Canaan on top of the mountain. That's the promised land. But God took him to the best promised land, into heaven, isn't it? Revelation tells us that this earth will come to an end and God is making a new Jerusalem. That's heaven. He's making a new heaven and earth. I may not get to the paradise, to the Canaan of London Baptist Church, but I'm going to go to God's promised Canaan because I believe in Jesus. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for what you have done in our lives together as London Baptist Church. Father, as we look ahead, we are seeing the promised land as Moses did on that day. You know what the promised land is. You know who will get to the promised land. You know how many will go in the promised land. Right now, Father, as we say farewell to one another, Father, help us to rejoice. Father, help us to rejoice in remembering what you have done in the past. Help us to rejoice and remember what you are going to do in the future. We thank you, Father, for bringing us together. We have known one another. We have loved one another. We have grieved with one another. But above all, Lord, you have united us through your love, through Jesus Christ. Father, as we look into the future, we commit everything in your hands in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Over to you, Jenia, if you can lead us to sing our closing hymn, How Deep is the Father's Love?
May we all stand up if we can and sing our last hymn, How Deep the Father's Love is for Us. Is it?